Three, two, one, and we're live. It's just me and Shrikar this time. Tristan is busy studying for midterms, and Shrikar should be too.
But I don't care about my grades, clearly.
That's not what you sounded like approximately 30 seconds ago when I was talking to you off camera. Bro, I'm failing all my courses. Oh, I'm gonna adjust my camera. Anyway. Yeah, we've been gone for like 2 weeks. We didn't do an episode last week. Actually, no. Correction, we did do an episode, but
it was long. It was so long.
Yeah, it was probably your longest episode to date. It was like an hour and 40 minutes. But technical difficulties meant that we couldn't release it, which was really, really sad and bad.
Sad, yeah.
And it made me mad. But this episode's gonna be pretty rad, so stay tuned. What's on the schedule today, Mr. Kovali?
I mean, it's international break.
FIFA Nations League.
I get you. Yes, it's officially the Nations League now. My bad. It's only for UEFA, though, right? Nations League? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's the UEFA Nations League, so only for European clubs. It's teams, I mean, not clubs. But countries, yes.
Yeah. European clubs, yes. I mean,
I'm not going to lie, dude. I'm kind of liking the Nations League.
It serves some sort of purpose.
Like, the games are so high quality because it's not just like, you know, play your B team and then after 60 minutes, play your C team. It's like all the stars are playing and like the teams have to win because it's actually for points. So I don't know. For players, though, obviously, I see the issue that managers keep bringing up. That it just means that it's another competition that they have to play and another... Like, you know, it's more load on the players, which, fair enough, it is. And in the especially for English clubs, because they don't have a winter. Well, they have a staggered winter break now, so. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? But
also, unlike the international friendlies where you got unlimited substitutions, you can't do that now either.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like you can only send in like a player for 45 minutes.
200 new players on like the 60th minute,
Yeah.
Like, the England-Spain game today, by the way, what a game. England, Raheem Sterling, my boy.
It was before the game. He was like, "It's time I scored." And
yeah, he did.
Did, yeah.
But like, what I was trying to get to is, I felt like I was watching a really high. I felt like it was like a Champions League game. You know, it's just like you go into the international break and you're like, it's gonna be a, like, fuck, what am I gonna do? But then you see like
it's gonna Ramos be Croatia, playing England, against
Kane,
but...
Sterling, Rashford. It's like, whoa, I'm liking this.
And you get to see high-profile clashes, which is all it's about, right?
Exactly.
Which you might not get to see in World Cup or the Euros because of tables or et cetera, et cetera. So it's a nice change.
Yeah.
I just feel like it could be implemented a little better to, you know, aid clubs and aid players, but I see why it's there.
How would you do it differently, though?
I'd implement the unlimited substitutions rule, just for fun.
The unlimited substitutions rule? Really? Yeah. Here's what I think, but I don't think managers would even use that if it was a real competition, because then you completely mess up the rhythm of your team. So,
no, I get that, but when else will a manager get to, you know, try out different tactics, try out different things? Because the concept of friendlies is almost gone. I'm not sure where they're going to play the friendlies now.
The friendlies are still a thing, but like, they're very rare. They're going to be like sprinkled in somewhere, like maybe one in like 6 months. It's not a lot,
Or maybe I'd like to see a first half team and a second half team without changes in between. Something around those lines.
First half team and a second half team? That's literally, it's like, oh, England 1 beat Spain 1, but Spain 2 beat England 2. It's like, no, I don't know about that. What else? England played Croatia first in the international break, which was probably the worst game I've ever seen in my life.
It was so underwhelming.
You remember that one game in the 2014 World Cup where it was like Iran versus
I know there were so many memes about that Oh man,
I remember the boring James Miller Twitter account made a tweet about it. It's like, this Iran versus something game is the best game I've ever seen. Absolute cracker. It was like a nil-nil. This was worse than that game. It was so bad.
Oh boy.
And for you guys that don't know, it finished 0-0, but Croatia had to play the game behind closed doors, so basically no fans were allowed to come in the stadium. And I think that obviously contributed to the game being shit, because there was no hype.
Yeah, there was no hype around it. There was nothing going for the game in terms of atmosphere, in terms of build-up, in terms of anything, really.
Like, this would have been like built for, you know, like, the return of these two semifinalists for, like, you know, England's revenge or Croatia dominating, but...
I mean, the papers did try to kind of hype it up a little bit, but I mean,
yeah,
at the end, it was
at the end, nothing, it was just 90 really. Minutes gone from the players' legs. We're already tired. It was just
and our lives as well.
Pretty much, yeah. You could hear, like, the England fans singing outside the stadium, which was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a horrible game, shit game. And then England played but Spain.
In the same match day...
Oh, no, sorry.
In the same match, yeah. Netherlands beat Germany 3-0. Yeah. Now that was a game worthy of watching.
3-0.
That was a good game. 3-0. That was...
What the hell,
I mean, I saw a stat the other day. Germany has won only 3 of their last 12 or 14 games, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, they're on, like, a very crazy. Bad run. They're just...
Yeah.
I don't know what... Like, their players aren't all of a sudden shit, but I think... Okay, I think also
maybe
we have to
give
credit to the Netherlands in this, because Netherlands played fantastic.
Oh, they were fantastic.
Virgil van Dijk is quickly becoming one of the best defenders in the world. I think he's already in like the top 3 or 5 for me.
I think top 5. Yeah, you got Varane, you got Ramos, Varane. You have Godin.
Yeah, I put him in that bracket.
Van Dijk goes, yeah.
And he's had an effect on them, because I felt like... Over the past, like, however many years, since, like, 2010 when they had that great run, they've been
underwhelming.
Horrible. Like, it's been depressing for them. They haven't even made it to, like, so many major tournaments. But, and I felt like
they
lacked, like a character.
World Cup.
Like, you know, like, you watch them play and they just looked so weak and, like, full of veterans. Yeah. But now, like, he's coming in there and he's like, okay, this is how we're going to do it, guys. Like, don't be stupid. And Wijnaldum, too, taking their Liverpool form into internationals.
Oh, yeah. He's been great this season. I think he's been our, you know, performer of the season so far in terms of consistency, apart from James Milner, of course, but...
Oh, yeah?
I feel like...
You think Wijnaldum?
Yeah, he's been amazing this season. Often goes underrated in terms of,
you
know, build-up and everything, but he's...
Every time
I feel like that, you can say that for our entire midfield, though, like the three of them who play, like Henderson, Milner, Wijnaldum.
Yeah, I feel like... Every time I watch Wijnaldum, I don't think I've ever seen the guy give the ball away. Not once.
Yeah.
He never...
Yeah. There's that.
And he never just does, like, sideways. Well, sometimes he does do sideways passes, but I feel like they're quick and they're crisp and they're with a purpose.
Yeah,
you know, like, he's a good player.
You know, for Newcastle, he did play up front, so I'd like to see him.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
5 goals in one game? What the fuck? Remember when he did that?
I was like, yeah, I remember. It was amazing.
I was like, okay, he's a striker, isn't he? Why is he playing in midfield?
And then he plays defender for Klopp in one of the games,
too. Yeah.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
He played center back against Swansea, I think. Jokes.
You guys have a lot of those technical players. But anyway, getting back to that...
3-0, like, where, how, why?
Where do you think Germany's going, man? What? How is a team
I really
that was
think
so
they need
successful?
A refresh. I really think they needed a refresh.
But I feel like they're getting the refresh, but they're still not getting, like, in terms of players, they are getting, like, younger players in.
I mean, in terms of the manager, he's been there for...
You'd sack him now?
Far too long, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he's
done
well.
If you remember Spain and their golden generation... Vicente del Bosque left after 8 successful years, which maybe could have been 12.
But he left after it was turning sour, I think, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't real. I think he just left because he was bored.
Who would reply? Sorry? He was what? He was bored?
I just think he left because he was bored, yeah.
I don't think he was bored after they crashed out of 2014 and 2016.
Well, to be fair, then you could say the same for Germany, kind of.
Yeah, like, he's not bored, I think. I think he's trying to figure out what the hell's going on with his players. I just feel like all the German players are out of form, because you look at how Bayern are doing in their league, too. They're not in form, and they're getting old, like you said. But their youth team, I think, won the World Cup, didn't they, recently? Like, their under-21 team?
World Cup? Oh, Germany?
Germany versus
Spain,
I think it was.
Not sure,
but like their youth team,
you could be right.
Did well,
yeah.
So yeah, maybe there is like a new manager that needs to come in. I don't know. What do you think, Shrikar? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a refresh to BH. It's been far too long.
Yeah. It's just... Leroy Sané played in the second half for them as well. But I think he had the chance to equalize at one point, and he fluffed his lines. Because Netherlands basically wrapped up this game in the last 5 minutes. And I felt that they got done in this game the same way they got done in all their games in the World Cup. I just think that they don't know how to defend against the counterattack. They leave, like, one player back, and that's how they concede all their goals.
Oh, yeah, I see that, yeah.
Like, remember Mexico, remember South
Korea.
If
you take that one man out, they're very, very susceptible to the attack.
So maybe it's just a change of system that they need. But just some observations I had. What else? What other Nations League fixtures were really cool and interesting that we can talk about?
I thought game week 3 or the fixtures before this were pretty trash. I don't see anything too interesting. All the British teams except for Gibraltar won, which is the first time in history that happened.
Really?
Yeah, Gibraltar's first win ever.
Wow. If any Gibraltar fans are listening, congratulations.
Yeah. They beat Armenia 1-0.
What do you think of Mo Salah scoring from his corner? Is he injured? He's injured, right?
He's injured, yes, he is injured. It's a hamstring, I think, but it's more of a sprain than a muscle injury, as far as I hear. Or a tear.
Oh, okay.
So he should be back, if not for this weekend, the fixture after that.
Yo, honestly,
I think even if he's back,
I feel like a tiny injury, obviously it's not good to get injured, might like help him because it would put him out of the spotlight and then he'd come back and, you know, because the spotlight's on him. He's not firing. He's not scoring 200 goals. Yeah. What's he up to? But he's still obviously a great player, so maybe a tiny injury he's away from the limelight would help him.
I think a week off could do him good. And we have the depth. It's fine. We could deal without him for a bit.
Do you? Because I'm just reading the notes that you made, and it just made me laugh because you said Salah, VVD, Mane, Milner injured.
Milner apparently is back from injury. He was supposed to be out for a month, but he's back already, which is insane. Just goes to show like his Milner fitness levels.
Get him drug like, tested.
Oh man!
Just like Milner suspended for having overload testosterone. It's like too much, too many balls.
Too many balls.
This guy is honestly, he's 33, 34, 33. How old is he?
32.
Which is what?
I think he's got a couple years in him still. Easy.
Yeah, he's at the top of his game. He's playing the best football he's ever played at the age of 32.
Yeah.
And he
started at the age of 16.
Which is what the fuck?
Yeah.
Half his life.
Yeah. How? Yeah. Oof.
Anyway. So VVD, what about VVD? Is Van Dijk injured?
VVD has a rib cage injury, which is the same one that surfaced in the game prior to the City game.
He was just playing through
Yeah, he was just playing through it. So it's kind of reoccurring, so maybe he's going to be rested also.
Yeah,
he'll have to be assessed.
I'd be down for Liverpool to rest him for like a month or two. I'd like that.
No worries.
Yeah. And what about Sadio Mane? Is he also injured?
No, Mane is just a hand injury, like on his
palm. Okay, why'd you write this in the notes then, bro? I thought I got so excited.
Like, just to see the reaction.
Y'all are so injured. You're done. Finished.
Nah, it's just a arm injury, so I don't know if he's gonna be out. Probably not. So
yeah, I mean arm injury.
But he was seen bandaged
up.
It up. Yeah, he wrapped it up, so should be good on that end. Any injuries from City to report?
From City, no. Yeah. But like a lot of players have like played a lot of minutes for our countries, so like I'm not happy with that.
Fair enough.
You know.
Fair enough.
I
was so happy because Henderson missed this game today.
Yeah, he's suspended, right?
The yellow card.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. Thank you.
Suspended. Fuck you. Stones was also suspended, so I guess that was nice. And I mean, a lot of players weren't called up for our team. Like, I mean, Silva's retired from international duty.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne was obviously recovering, and he's back now. He's back to full fitness, which is amazing.
Oh, good.
And Aguero didn't get called up. Mendy didn't get called up. Laporte didn't get called up.
Damn.
But the people who did, like Sterling played a lot on the first game and the second game. Jesus. What else?
Ederson's been called up as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's playing against Argentina. Yeah, I think Alisson's starting that game.
How tired can a man really get as a goalkeeper? So
fair enough.
That's it.
Okay, standing around takes a bunch of effort, Ange.
Yes. Can confirm.
Standing.
Going to England? When we went to England, we had that.
Oh, baby.
Let's find a bench.
Let's find a bench, yeah. I mean, you could just ask to get subbed at that point.
Yeah.
Free bench.
That last day when we had to explore 4 museums and we did half of one and we were like, we're done.
Oh, my God. That was dreadful. Yeah. My legs just gave up. I'm like, no.
So, okay, let's just quickly wrap up the UEFA Nations League coverage. Obviously, we covered like 2% of the games that happened, but we're going to do a short episode today just kind of to bring you guys back into the loop and say we're still alive. And also, like, those are the games we kind of caught up on, so that's what we'll talk about. But just to wrap it up, what do you think of, like, the UEFA Nations League? Do you think it's a good competition to have?
No, yeah, it's a good competition to have. Especially for the countries in, you know, the lower, I think pot 4 or pot 3.
Yeah, for those countries it's exciting, right? Because
it's very exciting because you get to play against like teams of your caliber and it actually means something.
What about...
So definitely for the lesser nations, but for the supposedly bigger nations, it's an opportunity to give call-ups to, you know, players on the fringes of the
but they already had that, didn't they?
Like we saw
this almost makes it harder for them to do that basically.
But I don't think Southgate has really called up his too many, like we saw a bunch of new recruits for England this year.
They did, I mean, but they barely got any game time because, you know, it wasn't a friendly. So I feel like if it was a friendly, like he would have started like some of those youngsters, like
Madison or
Madison didn't even play pretty much.
Yeah,
which is kind of, I wanted to see him. Sancho played, Chalaba played today for like 2 minutes.
Did Wan-Bissaka come on?
Nope. Wan-Bissaka's English?
Was he not called? Yeah, he's English.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
He's from Croydon.
Bro, I did not know that.
Yeah. I saw it in an article the other day. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently half of England's under 23 side comes from London.
That's crazy.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah.
But what do you think? What do you, like, for us watching it as fans, getting to see these really hype games is obviously so much more exciting than the boring international friendlies we had before. Like fucking oh great, England versus Cyprus or like England versus Malta. Oh, the commentator's like, by the way, that goalkeeper is a factory worker on the side. Thanks. Like I love watching this. But now, obviously, you know, you have really exciting games like Croatia-Spain. So that side of it is good. But what about the players? I think Klopp described it as the most senseless competition in the world.
Yeah, he did. He went hard on it.
Like, do you agree
I can see both perspectives. I don't really agree with him, necessarily.
Mm.
I feel like it's a competition that we need to have.
Yeah.
And it's a fair way of qualifying for the Euros. I mean, if you want to qualify for the Euros, you better... You know,
yeah,
show
that's
up
also
regularly.
The thing. It pretty much acts as qualifying as well. It's
we
should do an episode where we just go through the entire rule book and explain what it really means. Well, that'll be a good episode because I don't even fully understand it yet.
No, me neither. I don't think anyone really does.
I don't even think that. I remember. I think it was like one of the English players came out and said, "Like, we don't even understand it. We just know we have to win.
What's going on?
Like, we're just focused on getting the
all
win.
All right, lads.
Yeah.
How many points do we need to qualify?
Yo, I don't know. It's like it's one of the last games.
Just go out there, boys.
It's like it's one of the last games of the competition, and like you need to qualify if you win that game, but no one knows it, so they're just like playing for the draw. It's they need to clear it up.
Both teams get knocked out.
Oops. Oops. We didn't know. Remember when who was it, Senegal got knocked out of the World Cup on yellow cards?
Oh yeah,
that's the stupidest rule ever. That's
that's
fucked.
Pretty trash.
Like, imagine making it to the World Cup with your country and then you get a yellow card and you get knocked out. That's fucked.
That's no, I don't agree with that.
And
but moving on from the Nations League, we travel down to Australia, where Usain Bolt has scored
down under
his first of two goals for his new team.
I mean, close to a Sunday league as it can get, but he scored two goals, so I mean that's good. He's living his dream. He wanted to be a player and he's going out there and he's doing it. And apparently he even has like an offer from a Champions League chasing club, but like that's just Daily Mail, so don't read into it.
Don't read too much into it, but I mean, if it's a possibility already, that's interesting. I don't even think he has signed with his current team.
It's
a trial, as far as I know.
No, I think it's like a 6-month contract or something.
Is it a contract?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I might be wrong. You might be right. If he got on to FIFA 20, what do you think his pace would be?
Oh,
like right now, 99. I think the fastest is Mbappe with 96.
Really? Is Mbappe the fastest?
Yeah, Mbappe's the fastest. Mbappe and Sané are tied on 96, I think.
Damn.
He'd be faster, right? He'd be like...
He'd be like 97, 98. I think he'd be the fastest in the game.
He's literally the fastest human on Earth, what is the point of not making him 99, right? Or 100, if that's even possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fucking EA. They're gonna make him like a 92. Just watch. Fuck EA stats.
Man. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised. Also interesting is that he's being investigated by the ASADA, which is Australia's anti-doping authority, for doping on drugs. Because he's so fast at the age of 32.
Imagine you get to make it as a soccer player. And like...
You're living your dream. And
you can't.
After you score 2 goals... It's like, hey, just come with us to this room. What's it about? Oh, is it press?
And then you actually get caught. And then you're entire...
Oh, dude. If he actually gets caught, that'd be...
I mean, I don't... I doubt he's doing it, but a lot of players do.
Yeah, I doubt he's doing it.
You know? Which is something I learned actually just this summer. Like, it's very common for clubs and players to participate in doping. Fun fact.
Hashtag Pep's doctor.
Shut up. Yo, that doctor's godly. He's amazing. Kevin De Bruyne was supposed to be out for like 3 months. He was out for a month. He's just a fast healer.
It's always the case.
Just a fast healer. Fast, what can I say?
Yeah, of course.
Didn't Liverpool also sign like a doctor from Bayern Munich?
Yeah, they did. Maybe that's why Miller's regained his form so quickly.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, they should sign engineers too, just for jokes.
Yeah, it wouldn't be you though. Should we do a quick Liverpool versus Man City talk, because we didn't do it last week? Well, we did, but technical difficulties
meant
we couldn't release.
Yeah, we could go into it for a quick 5 minutes.
Sure. Another 0-0, but probably the most exciting 0-0 we've talked about. I really enjoyed the game, actually. Mm-hmm.
It was a great game, and, you know, at the end I was like, oh shit, it's finally happening. Oh no.
Yeah, man, that penalty was... painful to watch. Painful.
13 years of hurt.
Like 85 minutes we played it perfectly. I'm like, this is so good.
Yeah,
we pulled it off. Like Pep, he abandoned his gung-ho
his
goal
usual
press,
yeah,
and he's like, fine,
he
we're gonna
like,
respect
you know, take
you.
It easy boys,
which was so great to see. It's like, yeah, two teams who respect each other because they know how good they are. And then 85 minutes we play it perfectly. Sané comes on. Van Dijk, of all people. I was so shocked when Van Dijk did that.
I was like...
But
it just like, imagine if Lovren did it on the other end. Just imagine the headlines.
I can't tell you how hard I celebrated when Sané got that penalty. I'm like, we've done it. We've won. And then Jesus gets the ball, and I'm like, great. And then Mahrez takes it from him. I'm like, wait. No, that's not how it's supposed to go. And then he blazes it over. It was just the most painful moment of that game. And I don't think we'll get like an opportunity like that ever again. I think we're going to lose every single...
I really want to face you guys in the Champions League again. I really want that to happen.
I don't know if I want that to happen. You guys are... actually, maybe. Who knows?
It might be a different dynamic this year.
Liverpool and Man City.
Yeah.
I can't choose. I don't know who's going to win the title.
Even in the league. Chelsea, too. Chelsea, don't count them out.
No, I'm not counting them out. Chelsea... I just treat them like differently because it's not that they don't play attacking football. It's just they play a very different style of football than Liverpool or Man City. But they're tied on points, the top three teams, which is like insane. And I think it's the first time in Premier League history that three teams have gone this long being unbeaten.
It's insane. Maybe you could see Invincibles this year again.
Maybe.
Who knows?
True. I don't think so though.
I don't think so either.
I think all three teams are beatable. I think City are definitely beatable. I think Liverpool are definitely beatable. Chelsea, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a painful game for me at the end. You probably celebrated like a bitch, eh?
Oh, dude, I was just like, I wasn't even looking at the screen, and then I just heard the commentator. I'm like, oh, yo, sick.
Oh, my God. Are you the type of person who closes their eyes during a penalty?
Usually.
Yeah?
I can't watch it. I'm just like, I don't need this.
I have to watch it. If Aguero was still on, that would have been his duck broken and City's duck broken. But he wasn't. Man, Mahrez's penalty records is terrible, too. I don't know why he took it.
I know, it's garbage. But to be fair, everyone on the pitch, his penalty record at that point was pretty trash.
But anyway, other than that, what City did, which was so interesting, was like they played Bernardo Silva and Fernandinho deep. And like Bernardo Silva deep, you never really hear that. But he wasn't really doing defending, right? He was more the guy who played out from the back.
Because
you guys have three mids and we kept the ball between our two center backs for like the majority of the game, which is what he was going for, because he's like, we can't make a single mistake and we can't give you the ball either. So this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And when you did come onto us, that's when we played through you. And it was such a perfect plan. It was like the one way you could play against you at Anfield, right? And it almost worked. Mm-hmm. So I was just glad to see that Guardiola figured you guys out. I think he figured you guys out. And it's also combined with the fact that you're out of form.
Also combined with the fact that it's not a knockout, so you could, you know, have the luxury of sitting back.
But I mean, we almost won it. A knockout game. We would have won it if we got that pen.
Yeah.
It's not like we sat back, though, which is like the confusing part for some people. I don't think we sat back as much as we didn't attack. There's like a difference, you know? We didn't leave spaces.
Okay, you didn't really sit back, but yeah, I know what you mean.
It was
more of a defensive approach, though.
Yeah, it was like a game of chess.
Yeah.
Yep. Not what people were expecting.
And the Premier League table, again, is very, very tight. Tottenham, Arsenal catching up.
The difference between top and fifth is 2 points. Like, there you go.
It's ridiculous.
And La Liga this year, too, is such a tight... I think the difference between the top and bottom club is so small, it's ridiculous. Here, I'll show you. I won't show you guys. You can't see on the screen. Just freaking search it up. 16 points at the top and 5 at the bottom. After 8 games. 16, 15, 15, 14, 14, 14, 12, 12, 11, 10, 10, 10, 9, 9, 9. Like, what the hell?
Holy.
Sevilla's at the top. It's a crazy year for football.
No, it's good for football. More competition. Yeah, I mean, it's good. I like more viewership. It. That's great, yeah.
Okay, and I think you wanted to talk about Man United, didn't you?
Yeah, in the news, a Saudi takeover for United, Arab prince looking to bid for them, which is...
A lot of chance that they sing against City would go out of the window if that happened.
I mean, not only would City... It wouldn't just be a derby in Manchester, it'd be a derby of like countries... At that point, Abu Dhabi versus Saudi.
Literally.
On foreign shores, like...
Whew. Yeah, I don't think it's happening, though. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, I don't think the Glazers are going to sell. The Glazers aren't going to sell.
The net worth of the guy...
Unless they come in with...
Who wanted to buy is like $900 billion, I think. And like he would have to spend $3 billion to buy. Anyway, go on.
That is ridiculous. $900 billion?
Yep, something like that.
Just a drop in the bucket for him. But yeah, I don't think the Glazers are going to sell unless they get the right price. Because United's a money-making like machine.
Yeah.
Regardless of their position, for the next 10 years, easily, they will be the most profitable.
The thing is, if that takeover does happen, what you would see then is a director of football. Because obviously, those guys would not handle that, right? So they would appoint one.
Of course.
And then maybe like the transfer situation at United would improve, which is what the fans have been wanting for a long time.
Since Fergie's gone.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one aspect of it that you can't ignore, which might even happen with the Glazer family. Like, that's what they've been pushing for. A lot of people have been pushing for a director of football. It's just levels. And it's the way the world works now.
I don't know about you, but I'm kind of enjoying seeing Arsenal's rot. I'm not Arsenal. United's run.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, you're a Liverpool fan. I'm a City fan. Who isn't enjoying it? We're enjoying it. I just like talking about it. They're gonna finish, I think, sixth this year.
Yeah, they.
If they keep hold of Mourinho, at least if they sack him early, maybe they have a chance of finishing above Arsenal.
Dude, watch Mourinho turn around.
I don't know. I think it's too late, but.
You think it's too late?
Mm. I think so. I don't know, man.
In other news, well, Spurs Stadium's almost done. The pitch was rolled out at Tottenham's new ground, so we should be seeing.
Yeah, that's been a mess. Picture
soon. Yeah, it's been a solid mess. Anyway. I mean, they were supposed to play us at in like August.
Yeah, it was.
Or like September.
And I think there's this really funny headline on Daily Mail too. It's like Spurs finally win something or something, or like Spurs.
Oh it, yeah,
it was
yeah.
just something really stupid, about, and it was just about their stadium being finished. Like fucking Daily Mail. Anyway, we've hit the half an hour mark. So if anyone wants us to keep going, shout. Okay, I didn't hear anything, so we're gonna stop.
Yeah, me neither.
Shrikar has to get back to studying. I have to go to my game. Thanks.
I mean, this week was a bit of a mellow episode.
Yeah.
Just to get us back into think of things.
So
we understand.
Enjoy the rest of the Nations League. Too. And we're looking forward to the EPL being back, and that's when we'll fully be back too. So thanks for listening. Subscribe if you haven't already. Share it with your friends if you like it. Talk about it. Comment. And yeah. Shrikar?
Yep. Cheers, guys. See you next week.
Bye.